Well, good morning. He's risen. Amen. What a time we have today of celebrating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just think, 3 days before that, Jesus had been brutally crucified for your sins and for my sins. So Easter day, Easter morning is such a precious time in celebration of the resurrection, but we can't forget what had happened just 3 days before that. We were without hope till his act of love and obedience to the Father sealed our way to God if we'd but accept it. It doesn't make it automatic. You, as a person, as a sinner, has to accept the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing automatic about that. And then sometime in the early dawn, while these guys were guarding the tomb, sometime during that time, Jesus Christ infused his body with life. Infused that dead body with life and power. And in fact, it was even a new characteristics, as we'll see in the, as you see in the scriptures as you read through them. That body rises up through the claws that he had been wrapped in. Claws just drop down to the platform that he was laid on. And he takes off his head covering and he sets it aside in a separate place, we read, because that's where they found the wrappings for the napkin for the head. And invisibly leaves the tomb. He's gone. And now these guards are guarding an empty tomb, but they don't know it yet. What a weekend, what a day is about to unfold. What a day, the day after the Sabbath, is about to unfold. Jesus said to him, said once to his disciples, "No man taketh my life from me. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment I've received from my Father." And that whole statement that he made had come to fruition by the time that grave was open. On the end of the Sabbath, as the day began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and Salome, and had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Ladies? That was a very impromptu skit by the drama club from Blaisdell Chapel. They found out about that maybe 45 minutes ago, so that was really good. I really appreciate that. You know, it's the passage that they acted out. You know, it told of who came. And just in putting a couple of different passages in the Gospels together, we read that the angel said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay." And they entered in, and they found not the body of the Lord. You know, the important part, of course, there was that they only saw an empty tomb. And Luke records, that was partly out of Matthew, but Luke records that it says, "Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." And we looked at that a little bit this morning around the Lord's Supper. Several different times as Christ ministered with the disciples, he told them he was going to the cross. He told them he was going to be beaten by the Gentiles. He told them he was going to be they're basically betrayed by the high priest and the rulers of Israel. and he was going to the cross and he was going to give up his life, but he also said, I'm going to rise again. And the third day, he even told him what day it was. I'm going to rise again on the third day. And as the women left the tomb, why, they were greeted by the Lord himself. And he said, all hail. Let's turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. You need to open up the scriptures on Easter, right? Matthew 28. Look at a couple of passages today in the account of the resurrection. Chapter 28. Oh, that's chapter 28, Mr. Layman. That's chapter 27. That's right. Chapter 28 and verse 9. As they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So even after the resurrection, he told them where to go. Okay? He told them he would see them in Galilee. Let's turn over to John chapter 20 for the account that John gives. John is a little bit different account than what the synoptic gospels are in some ways as far as timing of the crucifixion. But in John chapter 20, in verse 2, it says, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to him, they've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre and we know not where they've laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple, it would probably be John, most people believe, and came to the sepulchre. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, but he didn't go in. Then came Simon Peter, following him, and went into the sepulchre and saw the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, when he came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. And the disciples went away unto their own home. I don't know whether it means when it says they knew not. I didn't look up the Greek for the word knew not, whether they didn't. They must have heard it because he told them, but they didn't understand it. A lot of times, once Christ was rejected by the Jews in his ministry in Jerusalem, he spoke unto them in parables. Spoke unto the Jews in parables, spoke unto the disciples more freely. But he used parables to the Jews to kind of disguise the mystery, put in the mystery there, and not so that they didn't understand. But the disciples were to understand, and yet, he, just as we read this morning at the Lord's Supper, three or four different occasions, they still didn't realize that Jesus was going to die, or they never really sunk in as deeply as it does to us today, of course, but it never sunk into the fact that he was going to die. They had been with him 3 years. How could he die? Some thought, even amidst the group, that he was going to be the king, perhaps. He was going to be the ruler. You know, the Old Testament scriptures talk about a king, the Messiah as king. And of course, that's what the Jews were looking for, as a king. But he didn't come as a king the first time. He will be coming as a king. He will be coming as a king. But he didn't come as a king the first time. So, let's see. 9 there, as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, the disciples went away unto their own home. They went to a place in Jerusalem where they had been lodging for the period of time. And then we see the precious story of Mary, still at the tomb, not retreating away. She had been there earlier with ladies, as we saw. But now she's still at the tomb, and John and Peter have gone back. And it says, then the disciples went away again to their own home, and Mary stood outside the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeing two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain, they said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him. And when she had said thus, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom do you seek? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you've borne him hence, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. And I don't know how big a woman Mary was, but in her love for the Lord, in her earnestness, He said, I'll take him away. Just tell me where he is. Jesus looks at her and says, Mary. Oh, man. I wonder what that sounds like to her. Must have been fantastic. Mary. And she turned herself, spun around and said, Master. Rabboni, which means Master. Don't touch me. I haven't ascended to my Father yet. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, and to my God and to your God. And she came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Boys and girls, you ever get presents? We don't have too many boys and girls up front today. We have a family day today, you know, but wherever you're sitting there, if you boys and girls have ever gotten presents, you know, is the best part the wrapping or is the best part what's inside? It's what's inside, and she's going like this. Yeah, right. It's what's inside. Yeah, you know, you don't generally open up a present and then put aside the present and then leave it, you know, just fascinated with a wrapping paper, you know. And no. You know, Peter and John saw the wrappings, but the wrappings were empty. The cloth was empty. Here's a present where the best part of the whole present was the fact that there was nothing inside the wrappings. Christ was gone. It wasn't the fact that the guards saw him sneak out. It wasn't a back entrance to the cave. There wasn't when the angel opened up the door. It wasn't that somebody came and stole him, or that he came out when the stone was moved. You know, he was gone. You know, the grave clothes were empty. The best Easter present you can have. You know, not even Bethel's chocolates can compare to that. You know. You know, the best Easter, best present you can have is an empty grave, an empty wrappings. You know, there's some of you here today that your life is empty, perhaps. You don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Never came to a point where you saw the need for a Savior. Don't have an answer to why you're living like you are. Can't control some of the things you do. But you never heard about the fact that there's a Savior. I never considered the fact that there's a way out of that mess of living a life that just don't have any direction. You don't have any peace. Maybe you're living in some guilt for some things you've done in the past or are doing in the present. You know, this empty wrapping is a symbol of the fact that the power of God can forgive sins. If Jesus Christ was not the Son of God, his body would still be in that tomb. There wouldn't have been any angel to roll away the stone. There wouldn't have been any forgiveness of sins. The shedding of his blood would have meant nothing if he didn't rise from the dead and conquer death and sin and hell, as we were singing this morning. So, Mary knows, right? Now Mary knows. It says that she... let's see, we got all the way over to verse 16, right? In verse 18, Mary came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that she had spoken these things unto her. And sometime during that period of time, right after that, or maybe before he appeared to Mary, Jesus appeared to Peter. It must have been after he appeared to Mary, because Peter and John had just left. So sometime shortly after that, Jesus appears to Peter. And we don't read exactly anything about that except for one or two verses, one in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and one in the Gospels. And in fact, it's right in Luke with the disciples that come back from Emmaus that we looked at this morning at the worship service. But sometime after he leaves Mary, and Mary runs off to the disciples and says, I just seen Jesus. You know, why, Jesus visits Peter. And sometime also in that early afternoon or late morning, why Peter reiterates that to the disciples, and there was some disciples from the West Bank, which we call the West Bank now, but from the mountains to the northwest, a little village called Emmaus, and they had heard about it, whether they were there when Peter got back or whether it spread like wildfire, what Peter said, although some of the disciples didn't believe Peter, it looks like in the scriptures. And these two guys, or maybe it's a guy and his wife, I don't know, but these two disciples are walking out of Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 7 miles, and a nice little hike in the mid-afternoon or late afternoon. And we had the whole story, which we read this morning in Luke 24, of how Jesus himself drew near. And when they found out who he was, as they were eating, They got back up out of their seats and they went right back to Jerusalem, got back to Jerusalem in the early evening or mid-evening, 7, 8, 9, 10, we don't have a record of that. And they verified with the disciples that Peter indeed had seen the Lord. Because we had just seen him. We talked with him. We ate bread. He broke bread with us. He gave thanks for the bread and we knew who he was. And not only that, not only did he appear to Peter and those two disciples, but then as he came back, or as they came back and were telling this whole thing to the disciples and others that were there in the room, minus Thomas, why the Lord appeared himself and said, peace unto you. So there's already a number of witnesses. I was talking with a brother, Phil Liberatore, this morning. And he came up to me after the Lord's Supper and we were talking about the fact that this is not something that, you know, is dreamed up. A lawyer doesn't need a whole bunch of witnesses to corroborate things. In the Old Testament, it was the voice of two or three witnesses, right? Two or three witnesses. So things should be confirmed. My, we had the five women. We only saw three of them. The other two were late back there somewhere. I don't know. We didn't have enough cast this morning. But there were at least five women who went to the tomb at one point or another together. And then there was Peter, and there was the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. There was he appeared to the group in the home there in the upper room when the disciples from Emmaus got back, and then later on Paul tells us that he appeared to 500 at once, and Paul wasn't ashamed to say that. He said later on Paul wrote he appeared to 500 at once, and some of those people are still alive, although some have gone on, some have fallen asleep. But some of them are still alive, and Paul wasn't afraid to tell people that if they wanted to go check. So if you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, and you think that all of this stuff that Christians celebrate on Easter is something they concocted so that they could be happy once a year, forget it. That's not the fact. The fact is that 2,000 years ago, a dead man came to life in a sealed tomb that hadn't had any air for a few days. And there wasn't any way he could have survived that. So this is fact. There was at least 500 and probably 50, 500, maybe 600 witnesses over the course of that. Plus the fact there was 40 days that he walked on the earth, or at least he ascended 40 days later. So 40 days had passed before he actually went up into heaven the second time and left earth as we see him in heaven today. So there's the phrases that our angel gave us. He's not here. He's not here. If you don't know the Lord today, that's a kind of a defining moment. You know, the tomb was empty. There was an article in the paper about 10 years ago, and the people were rejoicing because they found the bones of Muhammad. Well, that might be rejoicing for us as Christians, right? But I don't know how that would be of that faith, how that would be any joy, because they know he's dead. Never found the bones of Christ. He's not here. He's risen. He's not here. For the disciples, the 3 years of training were over. The scriptures stand secure. And it says about the women, he said, remember what Jesus said, when the angel said to him, remember what Jesus said about the fact that he was going to be crucified, it says they remembered his words. Jesus taught in Matthew 12, as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now how can you pull off your own death and your burial and your own resurrection if you're not the Son of God? Matthew 20, verse 18, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. We read this morning. And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and to the scribes, and they'll condemn him to death and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock, to scourge, to crucify. Even identified there was going to be the Jewish leaders and the Gentiles that were going to be involved in his death, his murder. The third day he shall rise again. And in Mark, he says he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, Mark 8, 31, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. So, the fact that the first statement the angel made, he is not here, is a real statement of discovery. His prophecy was correct. You know, Old Testament prophets, if their prophecies were false, they were stoned, and that took care of the problem. You don't have any false prophets for more than one prophecy, once they're discovered, right? Jesus' prophecy was many times, and his resurrection verified his prophecy. The second phrase was, he's risen. He's not here. He has risen. There's a difference between being not here and being risen. You boys and girls, you might be in the house sometime, and maybe Mom goes out to the garage or out back or something, and you look around the rooms and, Mom, where are you? You know, you ever have that, kids? I remember that as a kid, a teenager, not even a teenager, before I was a teenager. And all of a sudden I was alone. At least I thought I was alone. You know? And the house was empty, right? Mom and Dad weren't risen in that case. They had just gone into a different place, you know. But the house was empty, and that's kind of a scary thought. But if you know not only that the grave is empty, but you know that Jesus is risen from the dead, that's not a scary thought anymore. That's a life-supporting fact that we can base our life on living. It's the fact that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. We often sing, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. It wasn't a missing persons report. It was, he's risen. Made alive again. When the kids were little, why, Shelley and we went to the Erie County Fair, and we, in the one build, the 4-H building, why the kids had put together a whole bunch of, they had found a whole bunch of chrysalises, and they also found caterpillars and eggs and stuff from monarch butterflies, and they attached them all in the shape of a tree, and over the course of the week or 10 days, why, these things were coming out and hatching all over the place and flying all over the 4-H building, you know? And so we did that. We did that for about 3 or 4 years in a row in August. We found the eggs and stuff. And so, but a butterfly goes through stages. It goes through an egg, and then a larva, and then a pupa, and then an adult. You know, and it flies away as a butterfly. And Christ's body was changed. You know, and we read in the scriptures that we need to be transformed. And the word for that in Romans or 1 Corinthians is metamorphosed. We need to be totally changed. It's a new life. Have a new life in Christ Jesus. If you don't know the Savior today, if you don't know this Jesus Christ that rose from the dead, you can be changed. That's the good news of Easter. You can be forgiven of your sins. What a fantastic statement. Have your sins forgiven. Have the load lifted. You can be changed, released from the lifestyle you're living. And totally changed as a person with a confidence that the Holy Spirit will be living in your life and strengthening you. And you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't pass that up. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, you need a Savior. Let's see. He's risen. The last phrase. Remember how he spoke to you in Galilee. Remember what he told you in Galilee. You know, three things. He's not here. He's risen. Remember what he spoke to you. You know, he's risen is a statement of declaration. Remember how he spoke to you is a decision. I'm going to go back and see what I've learned. Brother Charlie was mentioning this morning, how in the world could they forget? Of all people, the disciples should have known. But as the angels challenged the women there was an action there that they did, and they thought about what Jesus had said. Oh, yeah, I remember that. He said that. He said that a number of times. And here the tomb is empty. He's gone. He's resurrected. He's risen from the dead. His statements were true. Are we going to follow his words? What have you learned about the Bible? And now I'm speaking to adults, or not just adults, but believers. You know, reflect. We need to reflect on what we read in the scriptures and apply them to our lives. You know, the women had heard the words, perhaps. They might have even been in the midst up in Galilee. A lot of the women came from Galilee. And they followed him all the way down to 70, 80, 90 miles down to Jerusalem. But not only that time, but probably several times. He came down three different times that we read of. And they may have been there the days that Jesus was teaching and saying, the Son of Man is going to be crucified. I'm going to raise again on the third day. And now they remembered those words. And we need to remember what we read in the scriptures and put them into action. When they went back to the disciples, they could tell them, hey, remember what Jesus said when, you know, it's happened. He's alive. He's been crucified. He's been crucified, like he said. He was abused, like he said, like the Old Testament prophecy said, like he said. And the grave's empty. He's alive. And Mary could say, I've seen him. You know, Mary could say, I've seen him. And be convincing witness to what had happened. Do you remember when he spoke last to you through the scriptures, Christians? What did you learn this week from the scriptures? What have we applied this week into our lives? The story of Jesus isn't just for knowledge, it's for application. And then the last phrase, come and see, behold, and see where they laid him. Easter's a good time to reflect on that, because it's an empty grave. Behold and see where they laid him. Today, if you go over to Israel, you know, we're not just saying just look at the tomb, you know, because you can go over and look at the sepulcher, the garden tomb not far from Golgotha, where they think Golgotha is, the place of the skull is nearby, and thousands of pilgrims a week go and see the garden tomb, undoubtedly. And it's still there and it's still empty, except for the tourists that keep coming in and going out. But I'm not saying to go see the sepulcher. Come to see the Savior through his word. The one from the Passion of the Christ this week who was on the cross, now in heaven. Come and see. The stone was rolled away, a big stone. That's about a 75 R15, you know, size stone. I was talking to Jason about the size of his tires that he uses. But I suppose if we had a full scale, you know, this would be a little bit bigger stone. It was rolled away that day to prove a doubting world that his word was true. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, and that doesn't hold water if you don't bring yourself back to life, right? I am the resurrection. I am one with the Father. I am the Son of God. He is the Son of God. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life, just like he said. He is the bread of life. He's the living bread. All statements that he made about himself. He's the fountain of living waters. We were singing at the sunrise service. Or we weren't singing it, but Doug Sakaya was mentioning the hymn, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And one of the phrases in there at the end was, it's number 407. Hang on just a second here. I want to get this right, because I think it's verse 3 that says this. Verse 2, All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread, though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Jesus said unto me, said he is a fountain of living waters. He's the Savior of the world, the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man come unto me, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He's the light of the world. He's the true vine. In the fact of an empty tomb, the resurrection, all these statements that Jesus made himself are vindicated. He's the Lord and has risen from the dead just like he said. For those of us who know the Lord, about 20 years ago, a brother by the name of Francis Schaeffer wrote, How shall we then live? How shall we then live? Let's think about that this week. We have the confidence of a living Savior. We have a confidence in a Bible that we can trust because its prophecies have been fulfilled. Every prophecy that's been made up to this point for this our time has been fulfilled to the letter. There's another prophecy. It says, I'm coming again. John 14. He says he's coming again. And there might be some, as I said before, there might be some in here in the room today that aren't ready for that. I hope you are. If you're not, don't leave this room without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. What better day to accept the Lord Jesus Christ than on Easter Sunday, when the whole world is celebrating the life of Christ, and you can have a new life in him. You can hand into him the burden of your sins and guilt, reorder your life, start life anew as a new creation in Christ. It says in the Scriptures, old things pass away, or behold, all things become new. We'd like to extend that invitation to you today. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, come on up front and we'll talk to you. And just lead you in a path that will show you the fact that you can accept him today and be a totally new person and know without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, that you're on the way to heaven and your sins can be forgiven. Let's pray.